Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Happy birthday, Keith.
Aw, shucks.
So tomorrow's your birthday,
right?
But it's also your stand-up recording.
Yes.
Do you have like expectations from the wife?
She tries to take me out to brunch,
yeah,
or maybe get our manis and pedis, but I am too in my head to do anything fun.
So do you go through the motion? Like, do you go to it? Have you had to learn that lesson?
Yes, we have gone to it.
Yeah.
And then before the appetizers come, I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. Let's leave.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is she
at this point, it's her fault if we start something and it fails.
Well, it's hard because you're not into your birthday and it's like you try to be polite about it. I'm like, Keith, we'll get you a cake, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I feel uncomfortable about that.
Right.
I'm like, all right, fine. Just do your stand-up. I'll sell tickets.
Today, by the way, is the last day to get early bird pricing to get the entire Keith and the Girl marathon, 24 hours, and get it 1 week before anyone has a chance to get it. I'm talking audio. I'm talking video. Don't be a late bird. Get the early bird things now. KeithandTheGirl.com/marathon.
And we're going to close that out and close out the tickets to Keith's show Saturday at noon, April 15th at noon. And you'll still be able to get tickets at the door and you'll be able to buy the marathon afterwards. But the early bird and the pre-sale will end tomorrow at noon.
Of course. Speaking about stand-up, we're talking today with one of the greats. That's right. From Last Comic Standing, Last Call with Carson Daly, NBC Celebrity Apprentice. Oh, my goodness. Jessica Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. We met Jessica some time ago doing the show Ardent Atheist in California. I don't know if you remember.
No.
Have you ever done that show?
No.
Yes, you have. We sat right next to you. They're very nice people.
Where was it?
You were very passionate about believing in God. Does that sound like you?
Well, I'm not like religious, but
right,
I definitely believe in God and a higher power.
That's yes, exactly what you said.
You yeah, said all of that. It's
wow,
on brand.
Did you guys talk about this for a while? You both are really agreeing on this whole thing. Did you have a discussion about it?
That we're going to stick with the story?
No, that you both really knew what I said. Did you?
Well, that was one of the major points is, you know, being an atheist since mm-hmm, we're an ardent atheist, and the fact that we were talking about LGBT relationships because mm-hmm, I'm in one. I hate that fucking label.
And I do too.
Yeah. And so that became the source of like, does God even like you if you are married to a woman?
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing. So it stuck in our minds.
Plus, yeah,
you stick in my mind. I remember seeing you on stage several times.
But what's funny is how passionate you were during that show,
mm-hmm,
and you don't know anything about it.
Where was it?
It's LA, and we're bad with where we are in LA. It's always 20 minutes from the other thing that we went to. I don't know.
But was it at a stand-up club?
No, it was in an apartment studio. And
no,
they had cameras.
It was definitely you. The host is Emery. Does that ring
no,
a bell?
No.
Really?
I swear to God, I'm not just saying it. I don't even know what you're talking about. When was this?
It was very memorable time.
Are you guys fucking with me?
No.
No, I'm joking. Maybe I was in a blackout.
Do you feel like we ever met before?
Yes, but I don't know what show you're talking about. I don't know who what's his name? Is it a guy?
It's going to be more insulting to him if I keep repeating. So, but what I didn't like about that show, and I had a lot of fun there, is that it took him at least 6 months to a year to put it out. And by that time, what if I found God? I'd be humiliated.
Yeah, but where was it put out? This is getting worse and worse.
As a podcast.
As a podcast on the internet.
And I did it with the two of you?
His co-host has Ardent Atheist across her chest, giant. That means nothing to you.
I'm telling you, I don't know what you're talking about. I would tell you, I swear. Are you sure it wasn't some other, like, upset Jew?
Now that I think about it.
I swear to God, if this is the wrong person.
I don't think it was me.
This is what Jessica does. She confuses
no,
people.
No, I would admit it in a second. I had to start believing in something.
Yep.
Because I was hopeless. That's the truth.
Okay.
And then the more I did and the more I communicated with whatever it is, I'm not saying it's God, whatever it is, even just putting energy out there, my life changed.
Where was that place in your life?
Many times. It's been like when I was majorly into drugs, or it's either that normally or a relationship issue,
so
like a breakup or a horrible, you know, painful situation where I've literally just gotten on my knees and said, please take this away from me.
Did you go to 12-step groups for one or all of those?
Oh, for on and off for 20 years.
So is that where you got like God as a higher power and that
yeah,
idea?
Yeah, but it's not like I'm not just saying, it's not God really for me. It's literally like putting energy out there to something or some, I don't know what it is. I don't picture anything.
You will literally just get on your knees and pray, right?
Yeah, I let go. I literally just let go and say, please help me just take away my, you know, because I'll sabotage myself or ego will get in the way or whatever. So it's that kind of stuff.
I feel like I believe in that. And I'm an atheist. I believe in saying things out loud, or like I believe that praying is actually just saying something to yourself or admitting something to yourself.
It's, yeah.
Confession is similar. Like you're just saying it to maybe a stranger, mm-hmm. or just saying it out loud to confess to the higher entity, meaning like your better self.
Yeah, it's very hard for me because I have huge issues with religion. Huge. So it's not like a religious thing for me.
By the way, speaking of LGBT, mm-hmm. Before the show, you made some kind of reference to your wife. Are you legally married?
Or yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was married before and it wasn't legal and right. It was a mess.
And we talked about that on Ardent Atheist, I think, as well.
And are you nervous that they can take back, like it seems like at any given moment, they can take back this so-called right?
I do, because I am nervous about it, because I think people are just like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, I just love how everyone that's not in the situation is so okay with it.
Right.
The other part of it is that I have a child, and which you guys probably don't even know, she's 16 months old. And, yeah, and I'm legally her parent because we were legally married. But, you know, she, not to get heavy, but it's really the truth. She had open heart surgery 10 days old, the baby, and then she had a stent put in, and she still is going to need more surgeries. We're on the Affordable Care Act. Like, there's right. a lot going on that I'm worried about.
Did she need open heart surgery because she was born of two mothers? Jessica
yes.
Carson.
Plus, I molested her at 9 days old.
They have such a big heart.
Yeah, well, exactly. Right, that's right. Yeah, well, she's, you know, she's being punished by God.
I was reading, today's National Pet Day, by the way.
Aww.
And I'm reading an article that kids born into homes with pets, 70% of which are dogs, are more likely to have high levels of a couple gut bugs, and I'll explain that, linked to lower risks of getting allergies or obesity later in life. So it's almost bad parenting to not have a pet in your house.
Right. Something, oh boy, we have a pet, but he's dying. This, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe really, she'll be like medium weight.
There really is a lot going on. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Keith, all of a sudden we're okay with pets and kids now?
If you have a
kid. By we, I mean him. He just, he advocated before for getting rid of your dog if you're having a baby because the dog will bite the kid's head off or fuck it. Keith?
That's so funny because the dog protects that child. Like, he's in her room constantly. He kisses her. He lays with her. It's the cutest thing.
See, I would read these stories about these pit bulls eating off a baby's foot. Well, I'm not talking about my poodle Maltese and a child. There's a big difference. The abundance of these certain bacteria were increased twofold when there was a pet in the house. An infant's exposure to helpful gut microbes, what a disgusting name, came through two means of transmission. One way was indirect, from dog to a baby while still in the mom's womb.
What?
The other was direct, from pup to baby during the first 3 months of life. Do we still have time? How many weeks?
Oh, no, it's okay now. Okay. Yeah.
The study also showed that the immunity boosting exchange occurred whether delivery was C-section or vaginal. Antibiotics were used during birth and the mom breastfed or not.
You think this has to do with something like this? Like, my ethnic parents believe that you feed kids, like, you know, big spices, bold flavors early on, and then, you know, their stomach kind of gets acclimated, and so the things that would affect other people's stomach when they first tried it later would, you know, you get the gist of it. Do you guys agree with that? It seems like it's true.
I do kind of agree with that. I agree with that kind of stuff.
I think we're making it up because we're not scientists, but it feels like, you know, you grow up with a certain kind of food and it doesn't hurt your stomach later.
Well, yeah. It's kind of the same thing. Other studies have found that kids raised in a home with dogs are less likely to develop asthma. It is thought that exposure to dirt and bacteria, like the kind that can get carried in on pooches, when kids are young, can produce early immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw them in like a, you know, a mud puddle
Yeah.
every now and again.
That's Yeah, that's
it's not a
good.
Dog.
That's
but
where
it's...
she sleeps.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, don't change the diaper for an hour after.
Can you look up if it's okay to let her sleep in a pile of shit? Because we did that last Tuesday.
Well, I don't know if you remember, you are on Puppy's podcast. And you
I know,
swore.
You're just telling me all these things I did. I don't remember that at all. It's bothering me now. Was it like years and years and years ago?
I would say 3 or 4 years ago at least.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a while.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Did you know you were an atheist?
Right. You swore off God. That's why this is, what a revelation. I mean, you were cursing and I'm like, I've never heard such a thing.
You know, what's amazing? This is, okay, so we're on mic with you for the second time, according to us, allegedly, whatever. we'll get down to the bottom of it later, but you're so much more calm. Even when you walk in, even when you...
Than the last time that I wasn't
than
there?
Any time. Than ever. Than, like, your brand. Than your onstage personality. Than your...
Well, yes. That well, my onstage personality has shifted a little bit, where I do like some, you know, I turn around and talk to myself, like that's very calm. A lot of the stuff I do is calm now. But yeah, I yell and scream because I'm enraged. So I kind of do all kinds of stuff on stage now, but off stage, I'm pretty socially awkward. I'm not really on, like when I'm at comedy clubs and around comics and.
Okay. Cause I was totally like you asked for no sugar in your coffee and I made the distinction of, wow, you must like off sugar, off rage. You know?
Oh, well, I am off sugar. I mean, I just started again like 3 weeks ago, but I just can't have a little bit. So, but it's more, I thrive off of my anxiety, so I wouldn't stop eating sugar because it makes me crazy.
You thrive off of your anxiety?
Yeah, it's like I feel like that's where my art comes from.
Really? Like
if everything were okay, I feel like it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be funny.
A lot of artists say that, and they don't want to go to therapy because they think that they're going to be not funny because of it.
No, there's no amount of therapy that could help me with what I'm going through.
So if we meet halfway, I'll still be funny and maybe I'll get fixed a little
bit. I mean,
bit.
I'm just, I'm able to be okay from the work I do.
Right. Mm.
But I'd have to really just stop doing stand-up and do a lot of other things to really be happy.
Fat Pig. The name of your podcast. The name of your podcast, Jessica.
Totally joking. Yeah.
By the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
You do it with Frank Liotti.
Yep.
And you do a great job. And you talk about an eating disorder, and you talk about anxieties. You talk about being on stage, and even though you can hide it, you're never fully comfortable. Is that true?
Yeah, which is interesting for people to hear because I can fake it really well on stage just from doing it for so many years. I can look like I'm okay because you have to look confident or else you're not going to sell it. You know, I feel like I'm a salesperson up there.
I expected you to be bigger when you came in today.
Bigger physically?
Fatter. Yeah.
Oh, I lost 100 pounds.
Okay, congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, are you going to have to stop this podcast after 5 more?
No, I'll always I said it the other day on the podcast. I'll always feel, I don't know if I always, I don't want to say that, but no matter how skinny I ever was, I still felt fat.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not as much about size for me as it is like the way I think of myself.
All right.
But it's the fat pig thing is more about like indulgence in everything. Because
like
if I'm not eating a lot, I'll want to like act out sexually or gamble or like it's always something. That's really what it is for me, the idea of the podcast.
Okay. Let me mention this and then we're going to delve more into your life. Vista Print Business Cards. It's a deal and it can't wait. Get 500 business cards for $9.99. Okay. We use them. We love them. Customize the text, colors, backsides, and more. They have thousands of industry-specific templates.
Let me tell you what I was thinking about Vistaprint cards this morning. I swear to God, I was riding my bike to work and I thought, what if I printed 500 cards that say, for $9.99, that say, hashtag kill all men, right? The hashtag that Marsha Belsky is promoting and I love and it's like church to me. And then I thought giving it to, you know, whether it's a guest on the show during these Vistaprint moments or whatever, the shock, you know, the like, the possible suing, the, you know, threat, the things like that. And then I thought, wow, a card that size can bring that much to somebody. Imagine if your business name was on it.
Upload your logo to one of Vistaprint's designs, or you can upload your own design.
Hashtag kill all men.
And I guess you might get sued. I'm not sure the point. For an even higher quality card, you can upgrade to a thicker stock or add a brilliant finish like metallic, spot gloss, raised print. Vistaprint is easy
to use. Blood red.
And very user friendly. Visit Vistaprint.com. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Use code KATG at checkout. That's code KATG at checkout. That's up to a 50% savings over regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the price to try 500 business cards for $9.99. This is a chance to get that professional look on any budget, so don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today. All right? All right. Speaking of LGBT LMNOP, I saw that Caitlyn Jenner has said she's coming out with a book, but they have the interesting things already. She did cut off her penis. How do we feel, Jessica?
That's quite a night.
One slice, done.
How do I feel about it? Mm-hmm. I feel like she should do whatever.
She didn't want to do it. That's the thing.
Oh.
They said that the only way she'll get into the TV show is if she does it.
I don't know that a lot of trans people necessarily want to do it, but they do it.
Yeah.
Because we won't acknowledge that they are fully what they say they are unless they cut off whatever you say to cut off and add on whatever you say to add on. And it is a fucking nightmare. And if somebody had a penis and you can still call them a woman, I'm not sure how many people would cut off their penises.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, you know, again, for the trans community, I know that some people don't want a penis and do want to cut it off. But I think a lot of people, and I've been going to the meetings, I think a lot of people do not want to cut off their parts and alter them like that. And I think it's just this social norm that makes them less likely to kill themselves when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I feel liberated. I just wanted to have all the right parts. I'm also tired of tucking the damn thing in all the time.
The right parts, the tucking, the binding if you have breasts and you're a trans man, the pain that comes with that, the corsets that we used to put on women because we decided that that is the aesthetic that we want to look at, the people hurting themselves and going through all of this so that we can call them by a pronoun that they want is just, how are we not grossed out with ourselves? Jessica, it's time to kill ourselves. Let's do it.
Oh, before I even heard this story, I was thinking about it walking here.
That's nice.
No, I wasn't. I'm not that bad. I'm totally joking.
I'm telling you because I believe in candor. The Secrets of My Life hits shelves April 25th. So all of you can stop staring. You want to know, so now you know, which is why this is the first time and the last time I will ever speak of it. Now, I'd like to place bets on that.
Right.
I mean, what am I? Where are we giving
like
the
Barbara
TV
Streisand
shows for?
Barbara not performing anymore. Right. She was just listed at Nassau Coliseum.
So why even consider it, she writes? Because it's just a penis. It has no special gifts or use for me other than what I have said before, the ability to take a whiz in the woods. That is a big one.
That is a big one.
Mm.
That is. And we're actually, Hubbyface and I are planning for our yearly camping trip. It's our favorite trip. And we want to move campsites to be a little bit more secluded, right? And I'm like, oh, that's further away from the bathroom. I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night. I don't want to go by myself. And he goes, I can get you one of those things where you can stand up and pee. And I'm just like, I got to like practice that. I'm going to pee all over myself. I've tried doing it standing up, but at least I have options now. So more on that and peeing myself later, I guess.
Like us, you have to start with a small plastic little, you know, training dish. And then you grow
training
from there.
Dish.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen?
That rests on my balls.
A small piece of a Tupperware. You can start with a nice candy bowl. And
we're all going to be so evolved that switching your genitalia isn't going to be a big deal. And then it's going to get to the point where women just make penises because it really is so easy to pee wherever you want.
Yeah.
It is, but it's much easier to have a baby with that vagina.
Yeah.
So that's the... Ooh.
Well, we're talking about the future. It comes out the asshole.
Ugh.
I can't take.
Mm-hmm.
We're rerouting a lot of things.
Is your wife the mother of the child?
Well, we're both the mothers. This is where all the language comes in.
Right. Yes. Did one give birth?
She did.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. But I still need to lose the baby weight.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
It's for three.
I'm sure you feel sick. she gave birth and.
Was she in a relationship at the time? A different one?
No.
Okay.
No. We did it together. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you have a human being have sex with her or do you do it through a tube?
I love these questions. It's amazing. Yeah. I had my father fuck her.
Wow.
And then he came all over her face
It gets rid of, it helps the immunity?
Yeah. No, we used a donor.
Okay.
And
do you know the donor?
No.
Okay. Would that be weird? I mean, it must be weird because you didn't go that way.
Would what be weird?
To actually know the guy.
Well, people do know the donor sometimes, but we didn't want to know the donor.
Right.
I think I would consider knowing the donor because I like the idea of a third party. Mm-hmm. You know, Yeah, I have a friend who placed her baby for adoption, and she wanted to be involved in the parents' lives and the kids' life, but like minimally. And it turns out it's beautiful because everyone sort of gets what they want, you know?
It can be beautiful, but it can also be really messy.
Absolutely.
Really messy.
There's another person involved in your kid's life. It's already hard enough to make decisions with the two of you. Mm-hmm. She's like remote. She doesn't get to make decisions. She just gets like visitation rights. And yeah, it can get messy. It's another contract. But it's just another way to go.
Yeah, it's of course. And everyone has their own feelings and opinions about it. But this was just more. And it's interesting because you can really choose. I mean, the person that we chose has like all of my, you know, physical. Yeah, it's incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you pick that? Were you looking for that or just happened to be?
Yeah. 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 So it's really, it's cool. It's cool to do that.
Switching gears. Do you know a comic named Jen Kober?
Yes.
Okay. So she was do we like her?
Yeah.
Okay. She was an ardent atheist, okay?
Uh-huh.
And she does not really believe in the boy.
No, it's okay. I just cannot believe I can't remember it. It's really fucking amazing.
Barry Manilow is speaking out about his sexuality for the first time. Turns out he's gay.
Wow.
Yeah. 73. He's letting his fans know.
Wait, where did the Jen Kober thing go?
She was who was on. It wasn't you.
I knew it.
You're saying.
I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
No.
I knew it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Good for you. You stuck to your guns?
Yeah. I usually remember, like, especially because it was in a weird place and it was, I would remember if I talked about that.
Right. So I apologize.
That's okay.
Oh, my God. I was just co-signing along with you.
Yeah. Jen's a friend of mine.
All right. Good.
But she said the same things.
Yeah. So you guys are close.
Interesting.
She really did. This is so incredible. Yeah.
But you're beating
her. And she's much, much, much like bigger and louder than I am.
Yeah.
Meaning so in person. Like I've hung out with her a million times. She's just much bigger. Like,
can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
I really did get confused.
A secret?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how I tell a secret.
Okay. He's holding a little piece of paper. That's my whole Jewish family. I used to do a joke about that. They hold one finger in front of them. Do you see that man over there? Like, it's not. He can hear you. Why are you hiding your face?
We got nervous about your big personality today.
I know. I felt it. I'm very with it. I know. I felt that you guys had talked about it. That's why I said that.
Because we are thinking of Jen.
Right. I know. I know exactly what you're thinking of. I know.
This is terrible. This is like, we should apologize to you a lot more than we are.
No, I'm not. But the funny thing is, I'm not upset about it at all. But the interesting thing
is, you know who I blame? I'll tell you who I blame. If you look behind you, our associate producer right there, Andrea, as we were talking, she was on her phone texting. And she wasn't helping to look this information up.
Well, I knew that you guys had discussed it, and I knew there was some a little bit of tension, because I just know people very well.
Did you come in like, why don't they like me?
A little bit. Not why didn't they like me, but the energy is a little weird.
We got to have Jen on now.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice and calm.
Yeah, I'm very calm. That's why you guys are like, I was expecting you to be screaming and yelling and like fisting yourself. I'm like, what is going on here?
But it turns out you're letting us talk and it's odd today. But maybe you're just more calm.
No, but if you knew me and had met me, I'm like, I would not walk into a show and be like, hey, that's so not me. I'm like depressed.
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Well, we like
I mean, not depressed. I'm just awkward socially.
Okay, well, you took Jen's place.
You're like, no, you said that you don't believe. I'm like, where was this?
You know what? You're a lot happier with your wife than Jen is.
That's true.
I know. That's I know true. All of it. I know all of it.
And she also was affected by the, and I don't know if it's also anymore because I don't know.
Why?
There was the California law of like taking away and giving back the rights she was affected by that law.
Yeah, no.
So basically, this is on you guys.
Oh my God.
Not us, you know?
Yeah, on Jen and I?
Yeah, yeah. You have a lot to think about.
Andrea just gave him the finger.
It was interesting to know that you had met me and been around me and thought I was so, like, on. Because that's not how I am at all.
Okay. This is more pleasing.
And on stage, I'm much less on than she is. She's brilliant. She's great. But I'm just saying, I'm like, I also get okay. very...
I do want to be clear. If I see one of you on TV, I know who's who.
Well, Jen is much butchier.
Right.
She has a crew cut, like a...
It's yeah. disgusting. No, this is good. This is all good news. No, I'm on team whatever your name is.
I mean, Jen has the same haircut as his wife. So, yes, he's thoroughly disgusted.
That's...
He mistakes Jen for his wife a lot, too.
So anyway, Barry Manilow's guy.
This is the worst.
I'm shocked. I'm like, where did I walk into? You guys are like, you were at the train tracks last May. You showed your privates and you ran. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what the worst is? I'm like Googling as we speak. I'm just like, why isn't this episode coming up? Arden Atheist is the worst at right. promoting their right. shit.
And then you're like, I don't know if you were upset about it, but it came out 6 months. I'm like, where did it come out? Like, what are you talking?
It's you guys believe in a lot of the same shit when it comes to God.
Oh, it wasn't you. It was Keith Lowell Jensen.
Okay. It was Bruce Vilan.
You're a kind and wonderful person.
It was Barney. We thought you were Barney. God.
All right.
That's great.
I think a lot of people believe in what I believe in. It's just, you know, kind of that life has brought me to that place where I had no other option than to just... put it out there. I also have a mother who's a therapist who constantly is saying to put energy out there and, you know, like really just try to focus on good things and it'll happen. It drives me nuts, but she's right.
What kind of therapist is she?
She was an art therapist and then she became like more of a couples, you know, family therapist. I'm about to pitch a television show about it.
Oh, that's
being
great.
The child of a therapist because she saw clients in the house. My whole life.
Wow.
What, like in the living room?
In the basement. So I had to be quiet.
Could you hear?
I listened to constantly. I would sit on the stairs and eat and listen to her sessions.
Did you feel like you were absorbing some of their problems because you would end up thinking about it? Hey, maybe I do think I'm worthless.
Probably. But I think I just saw a lot at a young age. You know what I mean? Like right. I just saw and heard so much that I probably shouldn't have.
Oh, I'm wondering if you would develop good skills for when garbage would come up for you, but I guess...
Both. Yeah. But I've been in therapy since I'm probably 8 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
What made, just because your mom's a therapist?
Yeah, she sent me to therapy. I mean, there were times I didn't go, but yeah.
What'd you talk about as an 8 year old?
I don't think I talked a lot. This is a great story. Do you remember Est? The Forum, Landmark, it's all that.
Oh, Landmark. Me, like,
yeah.
We it's can like, say yes, but you've heard of our memory. I mean, it's
I know,
terrible.
Jesus. You guys are like, yeah, I went 3 times. it's like a self-improvement. My mom was very involved. She was a seminar leader growing up, and I hated it. It made me crazy.
I heard of Landmark. Some people make it sound like a pyramid scheme or some kind of weird...
It helps some people, but it's cult. It was very cultish when I was growing up. This guy, Werner Erhard, and my mom worked for them for free every night. So she would be like making calls for them and not home. Like it's like it took her away from us. And she sent me at 10 years old. And I was in this seminar, I know, with 10-year-olds. And... they were going around asking people questions and I wasn't speaking and they gave me the microphone and I must have said like, my family life is really hard. My parents fight all the time. And the next thing you know, I'm on a stage walking around with a huge sign that said victim.
Isn't that amazing?
What is that supposed to do?
Well, it's kind of like, it's this whole like, get over it. You know, it's your story kind of thing. But I was 10.
Right.
10. That's like, I'm definitely putting that in something one day. Right. It's an amazing scene. It's like...
Well, you went to fat camp, right? Was it you or Jen?
I went to fat camp.
Okay. You gave your first hand job in fat camp.
Yeah.
Now, we had our own...
Emily Lubin.
Emily Lubin on, and she was in fat camp, gave her first hand job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's in the brochure, you guys.
Start going to fat. Don't be embarrassed, fat boys.
I was also molested in fat camp, which is, if anything's going to keep you fat, it's that.
Sure. Who molested you? Another kid or?
A counselor.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
I was like 14 and he was, and at the time I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. for a long time.
Are you thinking it's a relationship or he likes me?
I thought, you know, he likes me, and but I was always supposed to quote unquote meet him, and I never showed up. Okay. You know, I was afraid of the whole thing, but it was like exciting.
How old was he?
He must have been in his 30s.
And so when you say you didn't show up, it happened once and you were supposed to meet again. And
yeah, there was one time when he like grabbed, you know, not forcefully, but like grabbed me from behind and kissed me. And then I would like every night he'd be like, meet me at the da da da, and I wouldn't show up. Because a part of me knew, of course, knew it wasn't right.
Right. Did part of you enjoy it? Because that's a lot.
The attention, yes.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't attracted to him, but I enjoyed the attention.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of that. Like I've gone through with sexual encounters because I'm like, someone's touching me.
I know,
like,
I've been the same way.
And because it's, you know, as soon as somebody touches you, it feels good, even though you don't want it from this person. Like mm-hmm. so, not all the time, but it did happen. I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna see if like the feeling good overrides the not feeling good.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
And I talk about it because it's important to talk about this stuff because it's happened to most women I know and guys. I have very close guy friends that it's happened to.
When you get older, do you turn them in? Do you let the camp know? Sounds like no.
No. No, I don't even know his last name. I remember his first name, but I don't even... I mean, I've had other experiences with men where, you know, stuff has happened and... I had a horrible experience in college, and then I saw my cousin and all of his fraternity brothers beat the shit out of the guy.
Okay.
At a party. So that made me, I'm not that I promote violence, but that kind of
I would
made
love
me.
That.
Yeah, it was like I kind of got over it at that point.
Really?
In certain ways.
I envisioned that, and I always think like I'm not sure that that would, I would hope, I'd like, it would be obvious to me and everybody else that that would somehow make me feel better, but I always question whether it would or wouldn't.
Well, I think it definitely screwed me up in a lot of ways with intimacy and sexuality and stuff like that, but it was very, I enjoyed watching him get his ass kicked. Mm. And it's, you know, it's like the Jewish community at University of Maryland, so everyone knew each other. So it wasn't just that. It was like, you know, his name got out there.
And did
so
it?
So it's that too.
Did he get kicked out of something or
no,
did it affect his life?
No. Well, I'm sure it did affect his life a little bit because people found out.
Do you know? Did you know you were gay at the time? Does this go, you know what? Fuck it. I don't, of course I don't like men.
No, I had slept with men and I don't, like, that's why I hate labels because I'm not like grossed out by guys. I could never say, I mean, now I'm married, but I could never say in my life, I'll never be with a man again. It's not, okay. I'm not, you know, I feel like everyone's on a different level and I was with guys. I just didn't want to be in relationships with them.
Me neither. I'm with you.
Yeah. Care. So I hadn't been with a woman when that happened and it didn't happen for like 4 more years after that.
Speaking about food issues, Emily would talk about how to get herself to stop eating, she can't just put the plate away. She would take Windex and spray the food down.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a totally normal thing. I've done that where I put something in the garbage.
Yeah.
And because I didn't, there's no garbage on top of it. It like stayed clean just right on top of the garbage. I've eaten from there. And so I have to like make sure that I turn it over when I throw it in the garbage. Or if I really mean it, then I'll do that. Now I've since like gotten further away from that kind of stuff. And I'm not in that headspace.
Now, you're saying it's not about weight per se. Like, it doesn't bother you that Hinda's very skinny and she's saying this.
I'm not very skinny.
See?
Oh, I never judge anyone for their issues with anything. I really don't. Right. I'm not kidding. Like, I would never judge a skinny person for saying they have a hard time with food. Like, who am I to judge?
Right. And then Emily put Windex on.
Yeah.
And she went, no, I still want it, and ate it with Windex on.
That's now, interesting.
Now, her stomach, squeaky, beautiful, but crystal clear. But that's a problem.
That's
the Windex is a problem. The stomach is not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stomach's clean.
Yeah.
You can eat off it. If
right.
You will.
Right.
You know what? I would want to ask her as she's spraying the Windex, did she only spray one spray? Because you can sort of take it back. It's true. You know what I mean?
She like, put it on the, she yeah. didn't put it on mist. And she put it on the vegetables. Oops, I guess I can't. Let me mention this, please. Policy Genius, do you have life insurance? You know the state of the world. Get it. You probably don't get it because it's too expensive or it's a hassle, right? Well, I'm going to help you out. Because think about it, if you don't have life insurance, what would happen financially if something happened to the primary earner? It's a good idea to protect the ones you love, right?
I feel like for any earner, because at this point you need both the salaries, right. both the incomes. And if one person passes, you know, before you think, which can happen to anybody, it's like you'll have to think about money while you're going through that mourning. That's just, that feels like too much.
Most Americans think that life insurance costs 2 to 3 times more than it really does, resulting in 35 million U.S. families having no life insurance. Zero. 30% of U.S. households. In fact, over almost half of all U.S. families would have trouble covering an emergency expense in excess of $400. So imagine if the earner died. Go to policygenius.com today. Save over 40% off other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. That's PolicyGenius, PolicyGenius.com. Zero jargon, zero sales pressure, no hassle. Life insurance made easy. Free quotes and peace of mind. Don't wait. Go to PolicyGenius.com today.
I always hope he misspells genius.
Right. I'm aware. I'm woke.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah. By the way, I was listening to your podcast, and it was real, it was brief. It was in between the times that Frank was talking about maggots and would you eat maggots on a desert island? And then he had to go back to the maggot point. And for a second, Bill O'Reilly came up, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that you knew one of the people that got paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Is this from like a decade or two ago, mm-hmm. or is this one of the recent ones?
No, I think it's from a while ago.
Yeah, man.
Because I worked for Fox. I did a warm up for like a year and a half.
Okay.
For the morning show.
Did you know the vibe, like between Roger Ailes and obviously now Bill O'Reilly coming back?
Yeah, was there a vibe of sickness? Yeah, this was like, oh boy, this must have been 8 years ago. No, more than that. Like nine right. years ago. And I still felt, you know, there were still things going on and things going around and people talking at that point. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that you can say about a human being now, are these the assaults from 10 years ago or the more recent ones right. we're hearing
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to say, of course, but I'm looking at this one from 2004, Andrea Macris. And there was a big, the court filings had all this detailed information about Bill. And Bill O'Reilly, he was dead to rights. He would leave messages on this woman's answering machine.
What did the messages say?
He would say,
good job today. That's all.
Can you imagine?
Carry on.
Yeah. We're like, wow, we never read the whole.
Yeah.
I never even realized you're a woman.
Thank you for that briefing. Wait, no, this is an offense.
You would love my penis. A quote, little short brown woman asked to see my penis. I showed her and she was amazed. You would just love it.
He would say penis.
Yeah.
He's such a fucking asshole. He would just say penis instead of
something
cock
fun
or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the course of a conversation.
This is why people cut off their penises.
Yeah.
Because people just go,
of Bill O'Reilly.
I want to put my penis in your warm, moist vagina.
Oh,
yes. Just shit like that would make me cut off my penis.
Yeah.
He kept saying, you know what, go out with me, blah, blah, blah. And she's saying no. And he says, listen, if you
have you seen my penis?
You are crossing Fox News Channel. If you cross Fox News Channel, it's not just me. It's Roger Ailes who will go after you.
Wow.
I'm the street guy out front making loud noise about the issues, but Ailes operates behind the scenes, strategies, and makes things happen so that one day, bam, the person gets what's coming to them but never sees it coming. Look at Al Franken. One day he's going to get a knock at the door and his life will be over as he knows it. This day will happen. Trust me.
When was that?
This is back in 2004.
Look at this, how I forget things like this. Isn't that
so he's not
terrible?
Getting fired.
So obviously he has not been fired. In fact, and I'll talk about these, how he paid $13 million to five women very recently. And he also just got a raise for $18 million a year.
When?
Very recently.
For saying the garbage that he says, he's terrible.
Hey, but his viewers don't give a shit. That's the problem.
Yeah, now
they don't care at all that he did that.
And if the story out is fake news now, you know what I mean? Quote, yeah, fake news.
Right, exactly.
Then, okay, and this is more bullshit. Well, really? Right. It doesn't bother you? He just paid?
No, they don't
more
care.
More millions again? Because I'll tell you what, no matter who cares or doesn't care or what side of anything you're on, picture you'd five women accused you of something you didn't do, and you're like, it's just easier to pay $13 million. Mm-hmm. Who cares how much you're making?
Yeah, because it is true. Who cares how much you're making? It is true. Who cares the $13 million? Because all this does is put him in a good light. It goes, all these women are after is my money, and fine, you have it. I just need peace of mind. And that's what his listeners are hearing.
Right. He's paying them to shut up.
Yeah, but he's paying them so that he doesn't have to deal, not because right. he did it, you know?
He called her up on the phone during the course of a call on August 2nd, 2004. He suggested that Andrea Marcris purchase a vibrator, name it, and that he had one that was, quote, shaped like a cock with a little battery in it that a woman had given him. It became apparent that the defendant, Bill O'Reilly, was masturbating as he spoke. After he climaxed, O'Reilly said to the plaintiff, I appreciate the fun phone call. You have fun tonight. I'll appreciate, I mean it.
And the fact that he can say it, like, wouldn't you be a little more covert? Like, the fact right. that he just openly, you know, sends these messages and leaves things, it's the level of privilege that he understands he has, because this isn't proof. Nothing is proof.
Right.
Nothing leads to his conviction. Nothing leads to a worse life for him. It's just them wanting to get attention and want his money, and it doesn't affect him at all.
Do you know how many men and women don't care that he did this? Like, they're used to it, and they know people who do it. Like,
I'm going to assume however many people voted for Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Direct correlation.
Yeah.
Would your friend say to you, I can't believe how many people aren't listening to me, and I know the facts.
What do you mean?
I'm saying the fact, your friend that did get money from Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah. She posted something the other day and said, look, I'm being called a liar again.
Okay.
Or something. Because he was saying it didn't happen, or people were saying it didn't happen.
That he would start trying to call her again. She wouldn't pick up. That started upsetting him.
I also think people think that kind of phone call is boys will be boys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that is part of what I'm saying.
You know how guys always have to masturbate when they talk to you?
Yeah, like, so what? He was hitting on a girl. Who cares?
He's not even in the same room. It didn't even affect you.
Yeah.
I guess loving pussy's a crime. Despite informing him that she was not at all interested in the conversation, despite her adamant refusal to participate in such talk, O'Reilly informed Andrea that he was watching a porn movie and babbled perversely regarding his fantasies concerning Caribbean vacations because, quote, once people get into that hot weather, they shed their inhibitions. You know, they drink during the day, they lay there and lazy, they have dinner, and they come back and fool around. That's basically the modus operandi. During the monologue, he also says, well, if I took you down there to the Caribbean, then I'd want to take a shower with you right away. That would be the first thing I'll do.
Oh, that's so sexy. Slower,
I know,
Bill.
He's disgusting.
Right, this is an answering machine. Yeah, we check into the room and we would order up some room service and you definitely get two wines into you as quickly as I can get into you. I would get them into you. Maybe intravenously get those glasses of wine into you. You would basically, now picture his cadence, it's a lot slower and dramatic. You would basically be in the shower and then I would come in and I'd join you and you would have your back to me, and I would take that little loofah thing and kind of soap up your back, rub it all over you, get you to relax, hot water, and you'd feel the tension drain out of you, and you still would be with your back to me, and I would kind of put my arm, it's one of those mitts, those loofah mitts, you know, so I got my hands in it, and I would put it around the front, kind of rub your tummy a little bit with
Doesn't he talk for a living? This is the worst. This
right.
is like,
first of all, I'd rather be with a goat.
Right.
This is the most unattractive thing I've ever heard. I mean, literally.
In Texas, you can be with a goat.
I'm moving there.
Mm.
And I would put it around the front, kind of rub your tummy a little bit with it. Mm. And then with my other hand, I would start to massage your boobs, get your nipples really hard, because I like that. And you really have spectacular boobs.
You're the only one who likes it.
So anyway, I'd be rubbing your big boobs. So picture this voice message. So he's like, okay. All right. So anyway, I'm rubbing your boobs, right? And getting your nipples really hard, kind of kissing your neck from behind. And then I would take the other hand with the falafel thing.
Falafel?
I assume he means the loofah sponge. With the falafel thing, and I'd put it on your pussy, but you'd have to do it really light. Just kind of a tease business.
I mean, do you have Pepto or like Tums? I'm going to vomit.
You don't want a loofah on your puss?
No. First of all, why is he bringing a Middle Eastern platter into the whole situation?
And then I take the tzatziki. Right.
And then I lift my arm and you'll lift your arm. And then I'll look at you funny. And then you'll get turned on.
Musical, sexy music will play automatically. I've seen that.
And then you'll feel afraid. And then I'll comfort you. And then you'll, like, this is like horrible.
Then you will get wet, but only two drops amount. Until I move my hand under your armpit.
Yeah, and we'll measure it. Like, it's getting crazy.
And then you won't be able to stop getting wet. I will ensure that, but you will
not
too.
Not because you're in a shower, but because I'm very sexy.
You will not be. You will naturally, and not because you were prompted, tell me how sexy I am.
Then you will yawn, and I will take it the wrong
During the course of this rant, it became clear that he was using a vibrator and ejaculated.
Oh, Lord.
So now in present day, he still does this. He's making phone calls and he's masturbating to women that work for him.
When was the last time he did that? I'm just curious because I don't know.
I know, let's see, in the end of 2016,
wow.
1.6 million. This is 1 million. I don't see the date. End of 2016, 1 million. 9 million.
Here's what's amazing. He had to pay over $13
million. Oh, sorry. The woman I was just... So the total is five. It's four very recently. And this woman that I'm reading got 9 million.
Which, wow. Don't you think if it's five, it's 10 at least? You know?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So first of all, I just... $13 million you gave away. Now, let's say you have $13 million in your sex budget.
I promise you I'd be able to fuck these women.
It's such a misuse. Like, you really... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can hire this kind of thing, but you obviously want to
control.
You want to fuck with somebody's mm-hmm. life. It's not even about like it's about let me put my dick on you when you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can, with a lot of money, you can get the puss that you want. And I'm not saying like just women could be bought, but you can buy hookers, you can buy this experience, you can, and it could be a nice, lovely exchange where everyone gets the thing that they come into for.
The
but
hookers
no.
will come already wind up if you want them to.
They'll bring the intravenous.
They'll bring the loofahs.
Right.
Yeah.
The falafel.
I don't know if I understood you, but here's a shawarma. What do you want?
They have a whole shawarma just cutting from.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like they want to be on the phone with a vibrator. They want to infiltrate somebody's life with
and
a
they
vibrator.
Want to torture people.
Yeah.
And it's right. a power thing.
Yeah.
Sick.
Of course. For $9.99, you can get 500 cards that say, I don't know how to talk to women, but I like you. Mm. Hand it out. There'll be somebody into it. $13 million, you didn't get any.
I'll tell you what. I'd sooner fall for that than like, oh, I just came vibrator ass, loofah.
Oh, my God. I don't like that. Well, I want you to know I appreciate it.
Right.
And that was very fun. I want you to know that.
He probably had no, like when he came, he was probably like, okay, the liquid just came from me. If I were in front of you, I'd have you touch it.
And we wouldn't be as upset. Like, you can go ahead and have that kind of sex, but not to me.
Right.
With me.
Yeah.
You are now in the I came zone.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't make fun of someone who like, initially sexted me like that. Like, all right, let's work on this. Like, maybe it's worth it. I don't know. But you're just
I wouldn't make
shit.
Fun of it, but I would run. I mean, that's just not sexy. Right. It's like paragraphs of sexting.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's my worst experience with a guy consensually. Oh, are you saying the word penis? Oh, no. This, like,
yeah.
You know, one time out of 100 we come. So, like, this isn't the worst of it. if it's consensual. I've had to deal with worse.
Yeah, but when there's falafel involved, it's
I mean,
two.
You look at my face. 100. Just say falafel and I come.
I'm just telling people, I tell you what kind of food I like.
I swear to God, if you say in my pita, oh God.
Riley used his status in the newsroom to pledge to help women advance their careers. And then, of course, when they would turn down the sexual advances, that was the end of it. Producer Rachel Witheb accused O'Reilly of hollering at her in front of colleagues in 2002. She got a payout and left Fox after signing a confidentiality agreement. 2011, Rebecca Gomez-Diamond, a former host, it's fun when they're hosts, was let go after she complained about O'Reilly's conduct armed with secretly recorded conversations.
Isn't it weird how much of a turnaround they have with women there, but nobody wants to let go of Bill O'Reilly.
O'Reilly paid the settlement himself And Diamond left after signing a confidentiality agreement. That's a tough one, man. To go, do I want the $9 million, but I don't get to tell anybody? What a fucking asshole you are.
But look what happens when you do tell someone. What's the difference?
But it gets out. You just got to hope. Like now, it gets out anyway.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah.
You get blamed anyway a lot of the time. It's, you know, you're lying. You asked for it. He was boys will be boys. All that other shit.
Right.
It's almost like the confidentiality is like partly for you mm-hmm. to just fucking stay like so that you don't Google my name and all that comes up is Bill O'Reilly's penis and a loofah. Like that sucks.
Falafel was a mistake, people. I meant loofah's an odd word.
Oh, hummus.
You knew it was an accident.
Chickpea.
Former Fox News anchor Lori Du settled with $1 million in 2016 after she made harassment claims against O'Reilly.
And again, see, this is what your name is in the paper for.
And Roger Ailes. O'Reilly gave a statement to the Times, just like other prominent and controversial people, I'm vulnerable to lawsuits from individuals who want me to pay them to avoid negative publicity.
Mm-hmm. This is positive publicity.
Yeah. In September.
Do you know, by the way, how much we want to say that guys are great? Do you know that, like, I had to stop saying that? But they come into the studio, right? And it's like, oh, this guy was so great. When we brought up feminism, he didn't puke. Oh, he's like one of the good ones, you know? And he's like, you know what? He brought up feminism on his own. And he, like,
on his own.
Yeah. And he's like, he didn't even call himself like a male feminist because he knows what feminism is. Hashtag amazing men.
Oh my God, I'm so nauseous from this entire conversation. First, you thought I was someone else. Now all I can think about is falafel and Bill O'Reilly's penis.
And the latest allegations about Roger Ailes, the CEO, of course, he stepped down, was only given $40 million to step down because there are all these allegations on him as well. This creep.
All these men, by the way, believe that the minimum wage is plenty to live on. Just I know FYI, they do. Side note, they do. Whatever, go
we're,
ahead.
We're offering you a chance to get more. You're just not playing along, sweethearts. So he would have these women, you come and work for Fox News, you had to go to Roger Ailes' office, and he'd be sitting in his office chair, and you had to kiss him hello.
Stop it.
None of this surprises me. Right. None of it.
That's the part.
I guess I just know so many perverted men that it just doesn't surprise me.
I want it to surprise me.
Yeah.
Hit me in the face. Okay. Something needs to surprise me right now.
Can you imagine if I really did?
Yes. I would deserve it, Jen.
That's amazing.
Ailes would say, hey, I'm going to promote you. Now let's fuck. The women would refuse. And then you'd be like, okay, now you get no show.
And he's can we just discuss how disgusting he is?
He happens to be very disgusting.
That's one of those like inside out matches, like your fucking vibe, right. You know?
Megyn Kelly, probably the biggest name there. She ended up leaving in January, says the same thing happened to her.
And now instead of her entire career, she's the person who this happened to. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Jessica, thanks for coming.
Of course.
I'm just saying, hey, I'm really bummed out. Here's some more news.
Want to talk about 9/11?
Where were you?
Running. Running.
Yeah, he says, of course, Bill O'Reilly, you know what? I don't want my family to endure this shame.
He has a family?
Yeah. I was about to ask, is he married with kids?
Yeah, and he said to one of these ladies on the record or on the recording that like, oh, do you have a vibrator? I know you women do. And the woman says, I don't know. Does your wife have a vibrator? Like trying to slow his roll. And he goes, yes, she does. She would kill me if I said that. Now, when he goes home and this makes the news and she goes, what the fuck are you doing? Does he go, it's a coincidence you have a vibrator. Women do.
Yeah.
The thing is she wouldn't kill him. And he's not getting, you know, he'll maybe get shit, but it's hard to get out of that too.
Well, look who she's married to.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah. How did you even get there?
Trump named the month National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And so was asked about Bill O'Reilly. And Trump said, Bill O'Reilly, quote, is a good person.
Yeah. They're on the same page.
I think
he's the next president.
I think he's
right.
I think he's a person I know well. I turned the TV on. There he is.
This is where he gets his news from. Doesn't he quote him
all
the time?
Yes, he does. This is one of the people he does get his news from.
Yeah.
I think he shouldn't have settled. Personally, I think he shouldn't have settled. What do you think that means, Donald?
This is his quote. This is what our president is saying. This is like, does he understand none of these words are important to this?
In the July 24th interview last year, he said, I could tell you that some of the women are complaining. I know how much he's helped them. This was on Meet the Press. I hear they're complaining, but they got jobs. I do know that much.
You know, it's like, for me, how much can I react to this stuff? Because all day, every day, there's something else that enrages me. So I have to kind of pick and choose now, or else I'm not going to be okay.
Right.
Like all this news with Trump and everything.
Yeah, I remember,
I can't handle it.
And like, I understand Fox News is getting, at least Bill O'Reilly's show, is getting more viewers. And I do understand that. In 2004, when the news came out, I'm like, I do have to hear what he says. And he's like, and this is over and settled. And the last time I talk about that. And I'm just thinking, oh, you can do that? Now, it's also the last I watch your show, but you could just say that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's I robbed you. I admitted it. Right. And I think we're all done having this
conversation. I killed your child, but I'm just, you know.
But didn't admit it.
I said
it. Let's be clear. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know what? It's paid off. I'm being used. That's it. That's it. It even offends me that I'm being asked. I'll tell you what. If I'm accused of this, you wouldn't be able to shut me up.
Yeah.
We're having a conversation. Believe me. Daily.
I guess if you were accused of murder, right?
Yeah.
And you had to pay that off.
I'm not talking about it. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's over.
Why do I have to explain myself?
He didn't even have to go to court.
No.
Let's talk about something more pleasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The movie The Comedian. Mm-hmm. You played Robert De Niro and you did a great job.
That was Jen Kober.
God damn it.
No, I
did see the movie. I see everything.
Yeah.
And you were some kind of consultant on it as mm-hmm. well, right, as being in it. And, of course, you're some kind of consultant because, like, halfway through, you do a 30-minute set, right?
It was good for you. It was a 30-minute set. I was performing at the Comedy Cellar, and he saw me.
Okay.
And he called me in to be in a scene with him, that scene.
Right.
And then after talking and hanging out for, like, 4 hours, crazy, with he and the director, they asked me to teach him how to, you know, stage presence and all that other stuff and help. And to make a very long story short, I became the comedy consultant and associate producer and I didn't get a writer credit, but I wrote a lot of stuff. Okay. Even like the real, you know, the dramatic scenes.
Oh, wow.
It was an incredible experience. But, you know, we're talking about this thing with Bill O'Reilly and I'm thinking, I've worked with so many men, you know, in power in the past couple of years and it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's not just, you know, Fox News. It's also it's a lot.
We have to keep an eye on Robert De Niro. I'm not sure what you're
No, implying. He is very, very appropriate. But, you know, you have producers and this one and that one.
Oh,
and
yeah?
They kind of just, you know, say whatever they want because they have shitloads of money and they have power.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Would you do another movie again?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't not
get hired. It was an incredible
hired.
Experience for me.
By the way, so I want to ask you about being a consultant on something like that because mm-hmm. it's like, I feel like it's nerve-wracking because you're representing your career and other people in your career, especially with comedians. They take that stuff very seriously.
The name of the movie is What I Do.
Yeah. I didn't take it on that much because I realized that I'm going to do everything I can, but none of the decisions are like I had, I had a say. But there were 20 other people who made the decision. So I just did everything I could to
right.
help him represent a comedian and every, you know, then it was out of my hands.
Did you feel like no matter what, you're going to get shit from some comics about it? Like, oh, that's not what a comedian is.
Oh, I don't care because it's not. Anyone who knows the business knows it wasn't up to me what he did in the movie. It's up to the director. He makes every decision about every line. There were things that 50 people would say we shouldn't do, and he made the decision to do them, the director.
Was it ever frustrating? Like, I picture...
Very frustrating.
That's what I picture.
Very. I would, like, scream, please listen to me, please. Mm, right. But it was, you know, just because you're a consultant, there were a lot of other consultants and people putting their 2 cents in. I did what I could.
Now, why have so many consultants and everyone is shaking their head on that one topic that you're thinking about maybe, and why would they go for this other thing?
Because they know. Because there was a lot of men and they all knew the business and were fans of comedy. And I'm like, but I'm the one who experiences it. De Niro was incredibly open, would always say, I want Jessica in the room. What's Jessica think? Da, 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 da. But, you know, I maybe got half the things in that I needed. You know, I just did what I could.
Was there...
Like, there's a heckler scene, as you saw, right, where there's this huge guy in the back of the room, and he's yelling out at De Niro on stage. I'm like, he would never leave the stage. He's 70-something years old. You know what I'm saying? With this huge guy and, like, punching. Like, it just would never happen.
The guy's have putting his act on YouTube. Right,
right, right. And I'm like, just have him sit up front or throw something at him. Like, this is not realistic. But they did what they wanted to do.
I could see why that would be. Because I know that when you write something...
He called in Sonny Corleone to go to the back of the room. And I'm like, what is happening in this movie?
Yeah. Well, any comic that... Listen, if people say Jessica did this or it's because of Jessica, they don't know me. Because anyone that knows me knows that, you know, if they even know me a little bit, they know that there's things I wouldn't have done, like agreed to or done or said to do. I mean,
was there another moment that you thought this is definitely not how stand-up goes?
100 times.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One not just stand-up, but there were a lot of things that I would say, like even with his interactions with Leslie Mann. Like
I was just going to say, do you go, Leslie Mann wouldn't date you?
Yeah, like there were times I said he has to do this or this has to happen for this to be realistic. So I was consulting on the entire movie. I mean, the stand-up was the least of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What wouldn't he have done with Leslie?
Well, they had one intimate scene in the apartment and I was like right there and really telling them how she should approach him.
Really? How, like, what, how do you even know? Like, what, where is that coming from?
I just kind of know these things. I don't know. Like, just human interactions, you know? Like, basically for him to get her to want him, he had to be funny. You know, I like, when she got down on her knees and, like, you know, touched his legs. Like, there were things I just, you know, I was in a room with just the two of them explaining to them what I thought they should do. It was really interesting for me. I learned a ton. I didn't want to go a lot of the time because he hired me. The director didn't. De Niro hired me and paid me. And so I was kind of the one who was like, get her out of here. They were nice to me, but, you know, I would always jump in because I'm a truth teller. I can't just stand there and be quiet.
I was going to say, it didn't become intimidating to speak.
Yes, it was very hard to show up for months and like... You know, my wife would say, you got to do it. Just do it. He wants you there. But it was intimidating because I would see something and run up to Bob and say, this is not what should be happening. Or can he say this? Or you should have the audience member do this or do that. Or
did he back you up a lot?
Yes. As much as he could. But then at some point.
Look at you, though.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was good for me.
Run up to Bob.
Well, everyone calls him Bob. It's not like I'm being like, Bobby. Like, no one calls him Robert. But
were you intimidated when you first met him?
No, he's really sweet. He's shy. You know, he's a little shy, but he's the nicest guy. He really is.
I get nervous that sometimes he really thinks he's in the mob. He has it together?
Yeah, he does. All right. Yeah. Yeah, he really is a good person.
All right. Good.
But, you know, the director has final say. So there'd be times where he'd say stuff and times he'd be like, you know, got to pick our battles, because I would constantly see things and I'm like, this is not.
Duke, did comedians give you critiques as though it were your movie because you're approachable?
You mean after they saw the movie?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I think anyone really who is friends with me or knew me was like, I'm sure that drove you crazy. Yeah. I'm sure that because they just know what I would.
Would you ever fuck with them and be like, what do you mean? I loved it. Fuck the critics.
Well, there were parts of it I did love. But, you know, when you do a movie, that's what I'm saying. I learned so much. Like, I did not know that the director has that much power. I know that sounds stupid, but I really had no idea that they have final say.
You thought
a lot of the time, not always, but
you thought the writer would have final say.
The writers, the actors, the producers, you know. But when it came down to it, it was all his decision.
Now, you said before the show you did go to the premiere.
Yeah, yeah, but I saw it a bunch of times before that because we redid a couple scenes.
And so, was it exciting to go to the premiere anyway? Or
yeah, because you know a lot of stars went, and that's when it was like, oh, I'm a part of this. It's cool, you know. But I'm really humble. I wasn't like, oh, now, because, you know, it's great and it's a big deal, but now it's back to the grind. It's not like, But the one thing that's great out of it is I developed a relationship with the producers, and now they're working on me with me on a television show.
That's awesome.
So that was like the best part of the whole thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you lose your shit at any point?
Yeah.
On what?
There was a time when I was, because I was in his ear, so he had an ear thing for part of it, and I was the one talking to him, like with improv and different things. And
can you start that dialogue?
Yeah.
So you could just interrupt his, you can just go in his ear.
Oh, the whole time. Yeah. For hours and hours. Yeah.
That's bananas. I don't mean just for, you know, him, for like, just to do that to people.
Yeah. Just, yeah. And there was a time when I was doing it, everyone
Star
was
Trek.
Really tired. Yeah. And I was like over it with a lot of things. And I had these producers sitting there, and one of them kept saying, "What are you saying to him? What are you doing? This, you know," and like yelling. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
And then Robert De Niro says to the crowd, "Okay, I'm out of here."
No.
Like, oh no, Bobby.
I went up to him and said, "I can't sit here anymore. If you want me to be able to be creative, I have to move this entire station to the back. I can't be around any of these people."
That's got
to
be nerve-wracking.
I can't think
to say.
Fast. No, it really brought out a whole new side of me where I learned to say what I need and speak my mind, and it was interesting to be the only woman. Was fascinating.
And when you have the Godfather on your side.
Right. Yeah. I mean, of course I had him on my side. I don't think I would be able to do that if I didn't.
Did it work? Were you able to move
the
station?
Yeah, I moved away from that guy.
And were you able to work better?
Yes, because I didn't have someone yelling in my ear, you know, negative, you know, judging everything. And
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever lose their shit on Bobby?
No. No one ever lost their shit on him.
They think he's in the mob. I still am not convinced, honestly. By the way, speaking of, you know, the tone of the movie, and I've seen you on stage, obviously, caustic. Don Rickles, was that a big sadness to you? Did you ever get into that kind of humor?
It's interesting you said that, because so many people have said to me, when I get off stage, you remind me of Don Rickles in a way. And it's just because of my faces. It's not because I, you know, did a lot of stuff he did.
Insult per se.
Right. No, but was I sad? No.
Okay.
That's an honest answer.
Yeah.
I wasn't sad. I was like, oh, wow, you know, but.
Right. How you doing, you fucking Jew?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what a passing.
I don't get sad really about most deaths unless it's like shocking or sudden or.
90, it wasn't shocking.
No, yeah. I'm not saying it's not upsetting for people who knew him, but I didn't.
Sure.
I never met him. So there wasn't like a attachment at all.
Speaking of movies, I saw the movie Going in Style. Did you see this?
No, I was.
Do you know your stepbrother directed it?
Yes.
Okay.
I was asked to go to the premiere and I had a gig, but he asked me to go and I couldn't go.
I enjoyed it.
You saw it.
Now, why I see movies and then I'm surprised that I enjoyed them, don't ask.
I know.
But it seemed like a movie for old people. It's about three old men that are robbing a bank. I liked it a lot. You won't have to be, because that's got to be tough for you. Go, what if I don't like my stepbrother's movie?
Yeah, I actually normally love what he does. He's
Zach
brilliant.
Braff.
Yeah, he really is. He's good. Very funny.
Is it? Do you ever think, hey, look, you're my stepbrother, and not for nothing, but there's a bank scene. Why can't I be one of the people being held up?
Yes.
And?
I'm very honest.
And
yes.
And what does he say?
I don't say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just think it.
Yes.
Okay. Is it offensive? Like, why not? There's 70 people are laying on the ground in this bank.
Well, I think
plus
he
you
knows,
asked me to go to the premiere.
Yeah. He doesn't want me. I think he knows I don't want to be an extra. I would not want to be an extra.
Okay.
So if I had a line or a couple lines, that's different.
Right.
But he knows that I wouldn't want to be an extra in a movie.
Okay.
I wouldn't. So, but yeah, it's an interesting situation because he does love my comedy and
right.
always wants to come see me.
Okay.
But I think it's just he keeps it, you know.
Right.
You know what's funny? I come from
a
family.
Was it from a marriage or you were adopted?
No. So my mom married his father 35 years ago. So we grew up together.
Okay.
I have four step siblings. But, you know, I don't, they ask him for so much. Mm. And I was just talking about this the other day. It's just constant people asking him for things. And I think that's a big part of it. And he has helped me with stuff. I mean, he pitched a show with me. He went around with me and tried to help me get a show.
Was there jealousy on your part when Scrubs was a hit?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't jealous. I think and this has nothing to do with him. It's hard for me because I bust my ass for, you know, I'm in my 19th year. Right. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, why? You know, like I get a little victim, you know, like, sure. Why is this so hard for me? How come I can't get a lucky break? Like I get envious, but not like I don't get mad at him for that.
Do you think people call you in for projects?
No.
But they're calling in Jen.
I thought you were going to say, because he's my stepbrother.
What do you think? You're 19 years in, mm-hmm. and I feel like this is, you know, a feeling that you can have all the time. Where am I going? What am I doing? Why is it always a hustle? I feel like
a lot, you know, lately.
Yeah, I feel like I can fall into, we've been doing this for 12 years, this mm-hmm. podcast now, and every once in a while I'm like, am I doing this right?
I know.
Because I keep thinking about it and wanting to change everything, and then I go, you know what, I am doing it right because this is what I'm doing, and like, you know, you just kind of walk yeah. yourself through it. At 19 years, can you say that you're satisfied with your career?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be grateful. I've done a ton of television. I make money. I work.
Is there, you know, something that you're not getting that would ease your mind about what you do for a living?
I'm frustrated with social media presence. Even though it's there, I feel like, my God, what do I need to do? Like, right. I'm constantly,
and then there's
posting
a new
stuff.
One.
Right. And then yeah. it's just like one click, two click. Like that's the kind of thing I can't deal with. And, you know, filling rooms when you're on the road, that's mm-hmm. really frustrating and hard, because the more you fill, the more money you make. I get frustrated as a woman. The only time it's hard for me where I compare myself to men, like male comics, is as a headliner. Because if I feel like if any male comic had my credits, they would be headlining at like every improv in the country.
And are you not?
No.
You're not considered a headliner across the country?
I am in a lot of places, but not at improvs. No.
What do you mean at improvs?
Well, there's the improv chain. You know, like there's certain clubs I always headline, but then there's a lot that I just can't get into, which I feel like I would now if I were a man.
I feel weird now because I started this show saying you're a big deal.
I am shocked.
I do
by
have
that.
A lot of followers, but because of me, it's all right. been like you guys. I mean, it's all my work that I'm putting in. You know, right. like 80,000 people on Facebook or 40,000 on Twitter, but that's from constant. It just gets tiring.
Do you remember? I cut you off. You were saying something about your family. Then I asked how you guys were a step related. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, just that, you know, everyone, not just family, but family, friends of friends, always want something.
I see, right.
Yeah.
What could they
Which
possibly,
gets annoying.
What could you want as an outsider not trying
oh,
to?
Oh, God. I know. You know, Jewish. I know my
Oh, I cut my family
friends,
off.
Yeah, my friend's
you want
daughter.
In your house.
Right. My friend's daughter lives in L.A., needs a job. I mean, just constant. It's constant asking for stuff.
I see. Needs a
where,
job.
Sort where of. It's like the people who really are in the business and talented and need something get overlooked sometimes because he's being harassed. You know, not him, but all. I see it constantly with people that I know that are famous or doing really well. They get bombarded.
I don't think I get, but like, yeah, I did cut off my family, so I don't know.
Right. Who knows? Here, let's leave on a fun news story. Ready?
Oh, God.
All right. In Utah, a school district has settled a lawsuit with a student after she put on drunk goggles. You know, those glasses mm-hmm. that make you, they try to tell you that's what it'll be like if you're drunk. Well, the girl put them on. She was 13 and she couldn't see right and she broke her ankle. And now, you know, she's telling all her friends like, you'll break your ankle. Don't drink.
Yeah.
Sipping's not worth it.
I feel like that could be a long con. And you just like hire a 12-year-old. She goes to school right. in the same class
breaks
for like
her ankle.
A month. And she, yeah, she commits to breaking her ankle. And then like how scary is alcohol to that class?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at least for a little while, you bought yourself some time.
I don't drink and I don't wear glasses.
Yes. How do you break your ankle in a classroom because you're drunk? Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
is the teacher going, run?
That's what you would do if you were drunk. You would run.
Right. Jump up and down. Yeah. It's not
jump
easy.
Out the window.
Right. By the way, speaking of stand-up, like we said, it's tomorrow. So Saturday at noon, buying tickets online will be over. They'll be a little more expensive at the door. You know how that works. It is once a year, but of course I take it very seriously. There's a lot of stuff I write down that I don't use, you know? There's kids in this Guatemalan village right now. They're running around in Atlanta Falcon t-shirts and jokes that I didn't finish. It's very exciting for
You're
them.
Very giving,
I'm
Keith.
Very giving. I'm giving to them, but you guys get the good stuff. Take a look at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. All right, Jessica Kirsten. By the way, Jen Kober, over you. We're Team Jessica all the way, always have been. The Twitter account is at Jessica Kirsten, K-I-R-S-O-N. And the website is the same, jessicakirsten.com. And you do want to check out the podcast on iTunes. It's called Fat Pig. And that's that.
And this will definitely be memorable because it's the most embarrassed I've ever been in my life.
Really? Oh, I'm fine. You guys are great. Thank you for having me.
You've been wonderful.
I'll never see you again. Thank you.
I'm going to insist they put you on that Art and Atheist show. And then we're going to delete the part where we apologize.
Yeah.
And you're just going to look insane.
Yeah. You're both like, hey, welcome. Like you're being totally off to me. Like, hey, do you want coffee?
Why did we book you?
I'm so surprised you're calm. You were freak.
Well, in conclusion, you're very nice.
Thank you.
You let people get a word in edgewise.
And, and I'm totally not surprised by that.
Right. Yeah, you thought I was someone else.
All right, I'll see a lot of you guys tomorrow. Have a great weekend.